I'm not going to sing like that.
Yeah, you can break into song right in the middle of church. That'll be good.
Or your timer.
All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much this day. Lord, I thank you so much for salvation. And Lord, I thank you so much for all that you do for us. Lord, I pray you bless this time, you the word you want me to speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
I was, they had a couple of people down there from Georgia speaking. And if I start talking with a bigger draw, it's just because I've got around some Southerners again. I'm not going to stomp my feet and run around and do what they were doing. In fact, I'm going to breathe every once in a while because that one, oh my goodness, he didn't breathe forever. But as we went to, first of all, I went up there and I said, Lord, I want you to get me. And this comes into my Southern stuff, but I want God to get me. He already got me when I got saved. But what I want him to do is speak to me through the preaching and songs. I want him to get my heart. So the first preacher got up and he didn't get me. The second preacher got up and he didn't get me. And the third guy got up and screamed and hollered and ran all over the place and getting almost to the end of his message. I said, Lord, you didn't get me. About 2 minutes later, he got me. And I went to the altar bawling. And so the next day, we get there. We got three preachers in the morning. And then Brother Patterson got up. Brother Patterson used to work for Roloff. And Lester Roloff was instrumental. And Jack said this. He said, I'm going to keep Lester Roloff's name alive as long as I can. Lester Roloff was dead 25 years when God used him to put a seed in my heart. And that seed started growing, and the next thing I know, I'm at a home for troubled teens in Lakemont, New York. And that was God. And anyway, Brother Patterson got up, and he hadn't preached one word. He just started singing a song that Lester Roloff used to do. And I just fall down just bawling and squalling in my knees. Everybody's looking around me like, what's wrong with this old man? But he got me again. And I love it when God gets me because he's softening your heart so that he could speak to you through your heart. I love that. We went back to the room. And I was on fire. There's no way I was going to sleep for a while. So I just got out my Bible and I said, Lord, what would you want me to preach if they asked me to get up there and preach? And, you know, an auditorium full of teenagers. And I got to going back to when I was a kid. And I've told y'all the story about how many times that God was trying to get me to get saved in my youth. In fact, Acton Baptist would bring their bus all the way across town. In fact, I live on the north side of Granbury, and they was all in the next town over in Acton, but they would come and get us. And I would go there as a young kid, and I didn't know anything about the Spirit of God moving in your life or anything, but God was trying to get me to get saved there, and I wouldn't go. And I heard this voice said, your mom's going to suffer. And my mom was all the way across in the next town. And I thought my mom was suffering right there. And so I didn't know. I started bawling, squalling. A friend of my mom and dad's got me and drove me all the way home. I didn't know what was going on. But see, when I look back after I got saved, I know exactly what was going on. God wanted me to get saved then. If I didn't get saved then, my mom was going to suffer. And my mom suffered. My dad was a drunk. My brother was a drunk and a drug addict, and I turned out to be just like them. Later on in my early years, I was just a perfect kid. If my mom was here, she'd tell you. But but when I started rebelling, I just went right across. I just got worse and worse and worse. And finally, I got so bad that I finally got saved. When I finally got saved and started reading the Bible, I started in John, I went to Revelation, I went to Matthew, and more, I want to tell you all something. Matthew was a hard read there at the first chapter 1 of Matthew, because it's all begat, begat, begat. Oh, yeah. And just pronouncing the names, the long reading through it, was kind of hard. And then I went to Revelation and I went back to Genesis, started reading Genesis all the way through to Revelation again. But then I started reading Genesis, and Genesis read like a novel. Man, I just loved it. Everybody was getting married, everybody was getting blessed and all this stuff, and I just loved it. And then we get to Exodus, and the first couple of chapters of Exodus is fine, and then we get to building the tabernacle, and man, my reading just kind of hit a roadblock there for a while. And then I got to First Chronicles. And if you would turn to First Chronicles 4, I got the First Chronicles, and it was all of a sudden another roadblock. And I'm going, oh, man. But God put these two verses in 2 Chronicles 4, and I'm glad He did. Because, see, I did what most teenagers say. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. I'm going to do what I want to, and nobody's going to mess with me. And it's not going to affect anybody's life but me. Okay, but it does. See, sin affects your life, and if you don't believe that, it affects other people's life in your life, because if you don't understand, if you don't believe that, go around somebody that's been addicted to drugs for a long time and see how it's affected their family. Working at the village, I'd have mothers call me and say, "Oh, I just thank y'all so much. For the last 3 months that my son's been there, I don't have to worry about the phone ringing and me picking up the phone and knowing that somebody's going to tell me my son did." It affects everybody's life around you. See, that's what sin does. And we don't think of it like that. I didn't think of it like that. I wasn't hurting anybody. I was having fun. I was doing what I wanted to do. My dad was 41 when I was born, and my mom was 39. My sister's 14 years older than me, and my brother's 12 years older than me. And God meant for me to be a blessing. But since I didn't do what God wanted me to do, I turned into a curse. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bear him with sorrow.'" Jabez in my Bible, it means, "He will cause pain." Now, I caused my mama a lot of pain. You see, my mama suffered because I didn't get saved and do what God wanted me to do. My sin caused her to have pain. Verse 10. "And Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that my hand might be with me, and that thy hand might be with thee, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me.' And God granted him that which he requested." See, everywhere Jabez went, everybody goes, "Oh, here he comes, the one that causes pain." That's what his name meant. Here comes the one that causes pain. You know what people called me in my lifetime? Here comes trouble. But I had a lot of nicknames, and that was one that stuck with me a lot. But here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. My whole life. God didn't design me. God didn't create me to be trouble. He caused me to be a blessing. Guess what? He didn't cause any of you to be trouble either. But he created you to be a blessing. He created you for a purpose. See, I called my mom a pain because I didn't get saved when I was young. That was a great meeting up there. There was a lot of good preaching there. I listened to Brother Shirley today that he preached on Saturday morning. And man, he was hitting them teenagers really hard. But he's also hitting some older people too. He was preaching to teenagers, but he was hitting older people too. Because see, them older people, just like he said Friday night, y'all haven't got rid of this because you're instilled bitterness. You're instilled pain. But my mom suffered because I didn't do what God wanted me to do. I'll tell you who else suffered because I didn't do what God wanted me to do. Anybody I was around. It don't have to be your family. You see, when God saved me, my hands were dripping with blood for people I led to hell. You see, when I drank, everybody around me drank. When I drugged, everybody around me drugged. I was the king of the party. So if you was going to be around me, you was going to party with me. So I led I don't know how many people down the road to hell because I wanted to have fun. Sin is fun for a season, but when it's finished, it brings forth death. I thank God that there was people praying for me so I could get saved. But I want to tell you something, it's a choice. It's a choice if you're going to live for God. It's a choice if you're going to get saved. It's a choice if you're going to do right. And that choice is every day. I'm saved, but man, I could do what some of them people that they preached about. That I could turn away and just quit. I could go, God, I don't want no more of this. And I could go back to that world. Can I tell you something? I'd cause pain. You see, I caused everybody around me to have pain. I caused my family to have pain. But I caused God to have pain too. You see, I was sinning against Him. And all I thought in my mind was I'm going to have fun and do and live the way I want to. You see, Jabez said, God, I don't want to cause pain anymore. It took me 40 years to get to this point, but thank God it got to that point. And I got saved and I said, God, I don't want to cause pain anymore. And I've told y'all the story about working in that garden and that 850-foot row of weeds and vegetables. And you had to weed all the vegetables out. And I got all my guys over there and I looked back and I said, you see this row? In front of it, there was weeds this tall, but behind it, there was no weeds. It was just plants. I said, when I get to the end of my life, I want to look back at my life and say, hey, it counted for something. I did something good. For 40 years of my life, I wasted my life. I have nothing to show for it. Nothing. I want to be a blessing. If, you know, when I got saved, I got to listening to all these prosperity preachers on TV, and man, I wanted to be blessed. I really did. And I know, you know, there's nothing wrong with being blessed, I don't think. I know that my daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I just wanted one hill with about 1,000 cows. But see, God doesn't bless you just for your sake. God doesn't just save you for your sake. God saves you so you can get other people saved.
Amen.
God saves you, blesses you so you can bless other people. And this is what Jabez is praying. He goes, God, I want to be a blessing. I don't want to cause pain anymore. I want to be a blessing to others. Said, you would enlarge my coast. Man, I want to tell you something. When Pastor Brothers preached this, I would throw my hands up and say, oh, here we go again. I got something else to do. Because he'd preach it, and then he'd give me something else to do. He was enlarging his coast. Jabez said, give me something to do. I want to help people. That's what he was saying. I want to help people. I want to be a blessing to others. Man, when you get saved, that's what your prayer should be. God, you blessed me so much with this salvation. I want to go tell people about it. I want to help people. I want to get busy doing something. That thy hand might be with me. Well, I want to tell you something. They preached on it all weekend long up there. Hey, if God's not in it, it ain't going to amount to nothing. I want God to be in anything I do because that way I know it's going to get done. If God's there, it's going to get done. If God's not there, you may be spinning your wheels. Keep me from evil. There's a lot of evil in this world. There was a lot of evil back then, but nothing compared to right now. When people get up and talk about Billy Graham and saying that Billy Graham is in hell now, you know, when Obama got up and said that America's not a Christian nation anymore, a lot of people got mad. Can I tell you something? We're not a Christian nation anymore. We could talk about Allah in school. We could talk about homosexuality in school. But we can't bring a Bible into school. We can't talk about Jesus in school. But when the school gets shot up, then we could go outside and talk about and have a prayer vigil. But we ain't a Christian nation anymore. Go to Romans 5. You know, everything they told me not to do when I was growing up, and I did, it was fun. I'm going, what in the world was they telling me not to do this for? This feels good. But you know what? I didn't look down the road. I didn't see where that fun stuff was leading me. I didn't look where my dad was a drunk and my brother was a drunk and a drug addict. I hated the things that alcohol caused in my family. But can I tell you something? I wanted to fit in with the crowd, and the crowd was drinking. And I was kind of an introvert. When I started drinking, I turned into Superman. I was an extrovert. I was the life of the party. Look at me. Romans 5, verse 19. Did I tell you that I've led a lot of people to hell before I got saved? For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By my disobedience, by me not getting saved, by me not doing... Now, this is talking about Adam, I know. And then here in a minute, we're going to talk about Jesus. But I want you to look at some people's lives. I want you to look at my disobedience. And all the hurt and the pain that it caused others. Not just my family, but everybody that I ran into. Everybody that had any dealings with me. Here comes trouble. Your disobedience is going to lead people away from God, not to God. Mm-hmm. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now that's talking about Jesus, but I want to show you something. What about Billy Graham? Look how many people heard the gospel because of his obedience. There's a lot of people that was born in North Carolina when he was born in North Carolina, the same year. But I don't know too many of them. Let's look at Lester Roloff. He was obedient to what God wanted him to do. And many became righteous because of it. I could sit here and tell you stories of people that told me, that knew him, that told me stories about him that just make you just laugh. He was coming home from a thing, and he flew his own plane, and he ran out of gas, and he landed on I-30 in Dallas, Fort Worth. Just landed right down on the deal, ran out of gas. Well, he got on that plane's wing. Got the honeybees up there, and they had church. Nobody could go anywhere. He had the whole freeway shut down. And they got there to fill him up, and half a tank was empty. The other tank was full. All he had to do was flip the switch, and he could have kept flying. There's so many stories I could tell you about him, but can I tell you something? Today, all over this country, they're still talking about Lester Roloff, and he died in 1982. Well, he didn't die. He's with God right now. But he's been gone since 82. But see, he surrendered to preach. He surrendered to do what God wanted him to do, and all of a sudden, many became righteous. Many became righteous. What if he'd said no? What if all those kids that he flew all around the country to pick up that nobody else would have, and took them down to Texas and gave them a chance? I don't know how many preachers are out preaching today because of Lester Roloff. Let's think about some other people. I'm so glad that W.A. Criswell listened to God and did what he wanted him to do. Y'all may not know W.A. Criswell, but see, his mama wanted him to be a doctor. He was a mama's boy. I tell you how much a mama's boy he was. When he went to college to study to be a doctor, his mom went there with him so she could cook his meals and do his clothes, wash his clothes and stuff, and that way he could only focus on his studies. And he was on his way to be a doctor, but guess what? God was knocking on the door, and God said, I don't want you to be a doctor, I want you to be a preacher. And he surrendered to preach, and his mom goes, no, you're not going to preach. He said, Mom, I'm going to listen and do what God wants me to do. You go home. He became a preacher. He went to Kansas for a little bit, and the next thing you know, he went down to the First Baptist Church of Dallas. And he'd been dead, I don't know how long, when I turned on that radio and I listened to the First Baptist Church of Dallas, because see, he started a Christian radio station while he was there. And I got saved. He'd been dead for I don't know how many years. But see, what he done is still living on. That radio station's still down there. And anybody could turn it on and listen to it and maybe get saved. You see, by his obedience, many became righteous. I think of all the great men. If Jack Hiles, I was listening to Jack Hiles, and he had been dead for I don't know how long. And he was talking about he was a young boy growing up in Texas, and his dad was a drunk, and his mom did all the things for him and provided for him. She worked all the time, but she took him to church. And I was thinking about that time when I told y'all about my brother taking me to church, and all the people wouldn't have anything to do with me because of my brother. And I was thinking, Lord, what if they hadn't done that? And my mom would have continued to take me to church, and I'd have got saved. Now, that's people that were obedient. And many became righteous. Even they're gone now. And Lester Roloff and Jack Hiles are still talked about today. Brother Patterson got up and said, why do you want to be Jack Hiles? You're not Jack Hiles. Why do you want to be a Lester Roloff? You're not Lester Roloff. Be you. God made you to be you. Now get up and do something for God. Now then, you could go out and say, well, it ain't going to bother anybody else. I'm going to live my life. I'll do what I want to. It ain't going to bother. Let me tell you something. It's going to bother some other people. You know, we're sitting around this table praying for people. If you're disobedient and you don't do what God wants you to do, you can pray all day long. He's not going to hear you. I want God to hear me. I want Him to get me when I go to a service. I want Him to get me. I don't care if people see me cry. I want God to work on my heart. I want to be closer to God. You see, I've been disobedient long enough. I want to do something for God. You know what? Sometimes you get busy. Yeah, sometimes you get tired. Sometimes you get away. Sometimes you get unfocused. You start focusing on stuff that you're not supposed to be focusing on and not focusing on God. I am bad about turning on the TV and vegetating. I'm bad about that. I didn't listen to no TV up there. I didn't listen to no radio up there. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I got in that book. I read more up there than I've read in a long time. God worked on my heart. He got me. I'm so glad that He got me. I'm so glad that 40 years of sinning, 40 years of disobedience, He was still there. He still loved me enough that He says, okay, Tracy, I'll give you one more chance. I'm so glad for that. But you know what? I'm saved, but I can still be disobedient. I'm saved, but I can still not do what God wants me to do. You see, that's just not for that message, and this message is not just for teenagers. It's for everybody. Amen. You got to be obedient to do what God wants you to do. You got to say, okay, I don't understand this, but I'm going to do it because you told me to go over there.
Amen.
You see, if we don't, see, God has a plan. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. You know what? If I could do anything in this world, I would go back and I would run down that aisle and I would get saved. Do you know all those kids used to make fun of me? They were church kids. And they would make fun of me saying, why ain't you saved? You need to get saved. You need to get saved. Can I tell you something? I saw one of them when I went home. His sister has lost her mind. Literally. Drugs has just lost. She's lost it. She's in prison. And he's just lost about everything in the world, and he has too. Guess what? He was on drugs too. And I wanted to walk up to him and say, hey, in fact I did. I said, hey, you'll never believe this, but I got saved and I'm working in a ministry now. You know, that just went over his head. It doesn't matter what you say. It matters what you do.
Amen.
And Abraham was blessed because he was obedient. He answered the call of God. I thank God for the people, the men of God in my life that answered the call. How many people would have not been saved if Billy Graham would have said no? How many people would have not had a second chance? Lester Roloff said this one time. He said, I had a judge call me up and said, this boy, I don't know if you could do anything with him or not, but he shot his dad. He just went in there and shot him. No one of his family will have anything to do with him. They're scared to death. He said, I'll come get him. I'll come get him. You know what? I thank God that he gave me a... People talk about second chances. But I'm going to tell you something. We have a lot more than second chances. He waited me for 40 years. So we can be disobedient all we want to, and we can go out and have fun and live like the devil and do whatever we want to, but it's going to affect more than just you.
Amen.
It's going to affect a lot of people. Not only a lot of people that you didn't affect, but see, God had a plan for my life that I was supposed to be a blessing. For 40 years, I was a curse. One of the things that He cleaned up when He got me saved was my hands. It wasn't dripping with blood anymore after I got saved. There's times in our lives when we think we know better, even after we get saved. But there's nothing that we should do but be obedient to God. One of the greatest things that Apostle Paul ever did was he got up and died daily. You know, we need to die daily. I can't go back and get saved when I was a kid and change my whole life and change the people's lives around me. But I could change this. I can change my future. And I can change the people around me's future. I can be a blessing and not a curse. So if they gave me a chance to get up there and preach the other night, that's what I was going to say. You know, they didn't mean me to get up and preach, but I was just thinking, what would I say to these teenagers? Do what God wants you to do. Get saved. Surrender your life to God and live for Him. Because look, at the end of your life, you could be dead 20 years and you're still going to lead people to Christ. God used Lester Roloff 25 years after he died, after he went to heaven, to plant a seed in my heart. You know what I started doing? I started praying for a home for troubled teens. And I was there just minding my own business, and God said, quit your job. You go to New York. There's a home for troubled teens up there. Now then, there was a guy, a preacher there, that came up to me and said, I was worried about you. I heard about what happened and I was worried about you. He don't need to be worried about me. He needs to be worried about him. I've been praying for you. Well, guess what? God's got me. All I have to do is be obedient. Because see, if I'm disobedient again, it's going to cost somebody. What if I don't knock on somebody's door that I'm supposed to? And what if I don't say the things I'm supposed to? What if I don't hand somebody a tract that I'm supposed to? See, the most minute little thing that we don't think too much of, God does. Because He has a plan for our lives. And He has a plan for the people that we touch. You know how to make America great again?
One soul at a time.
We need to get back to God. You see, God's the one who made America great. not man.
Amen.
God made America great. Now that we kick God out and we still want to be great, but without God and live the way we want to. This whole world's in disobedience. And God's not going to bless disobedience. I believe we have a small window. Pastor Rice talked about it this morning. What if the next person, our next president, is not Christian friendly? That window is going to close. And God says, I've had enough. Bam. And then we don't have a window. We don't have a chance to be obedient. Because Steve Anderson and a bunch of his guys are going to be down here. A bunch of us are going to be up there. And then the souls that we had to reach, we're not going to be able to reach them. I thank God for the last 3 or 4 months. I've learned so much. And I thank God that He never leaves us or forsakes us. And if we just really understand that it's about Him and not us, that we'd be more obedient, that we quit worrying about what's on Fox News and start worrying about what God wants us to do, this world would be different. You know why this country doesn't know anything about God? It's because Christians allowed God to be kicked out of our schools, our government, our lives. See, we think making a living is more important than making a life. We think going out and working and earning money is more important than kids. We don't have time to go to church. We don't have time for God. We don't have time for God in our schools until they get shot up, and then we want to know where God is. We've kicked Him out. He would have loved to have been there. He would have loved to have put the hedge of protection on. He would have loved to. Hey, what happened if that guy that shot up that school would have got saved?
Yeah.
His heart would have been changed. I opened up the book, and it was to Ezekiel 22. This was Thursday night. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. You know what? That's Moses did that. Moses got up. God was going to just wiping everybody out. And Moses got up and said, whoa, wait. Stop. He stood in the gap. In Ezekiel it says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore I poured out my indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, saith the Lord God. Dave talked about who's going to be the next Billy Graham. Who's going to get up and be the next Jack Hiles? Who's going to be the next man of God that's going to lead this country? That's going to lead people to righteousness? Who's going to stand in the gap? Or are you going to be disobedient? You know, if somebody would have told me when I was a teenager that my life was going to cause pain and that I was going to lead many people to hell, I don't know what I'd done. But I wish somebody would have. I wish somebody would have told me, look, you're going the wrong way. You need to turn from your evil ways. They're going to lead people to hell. What you need to do is start leading people to Jesus Christ. What you need to do is start being obedient to God. You need to fall in love with Jesus because He loves you. No, I'm in love with this world. I'm in love with the pleasures of this world. I'm going to do what I want to do. Because that's what so many of us do. But I thank God for the people who don't. I thank God for the people who say, you know what, I'm going to trust Christ. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to preach. I'm going to teach. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Not just for me and my family, but for other people too. I want to be a blessing. I don't want to cause pain anymore. I want to be obedient. I want to do what God wants me to do. I'm so glad that the blood goes deeper than the stain. I'm so glad that even after 40 years of causing pain, God said, I want you to be a blessing. Now then, it's up to me to be a blessing. It's up to me to do what God wants me to do. But guess what? It's up to you too. It's just not for teenagers. I've never met anybody that's got saved that wished they stayed in the world one more day. In fact, everyone I talk to says, I wished I'd have got saved sooner. I wished I'd have done right. Because when you're in the great right throne of judgment, if you get saved, if it's the great right throne of judgment, you get to see your dad come up out of hell. And you wish to God that you'd have got saved early so your dad wouldn't have went to hell. I wish I'd have got saved earlier so all my family members that I saw die and go to hell. Now they're coming up and they're hollering, Tracy, why didn't you do right? See, it means something. All the people that I led to hell, I'm going to get to see them come up out of hell. And they're going to look me in the eye and say, how'd you get over there? You see, it means something. This is not a game. I want to do right. I want to lead people to righteousness. I don't want to lead them to hell anymore. Because I've caused pain enough in my life. I want to be like Lester Roloff and them. I want to be able to, when I die, that maybe some down the road, they'll still hear, get a tape from me or something and say, Lord, I want to do right. Amen. And you know what? God says, I have an expected end for you. He's telling this to the people of Israel who went out and sinned against Him. He's not saying that to some church kid that's never done anything. He's saying that to the Israel, the ones that went out and sinned, and He's wiped most of them out. And He says, I have an expected end for you. I know my thoughts towards you. They are good and not evil. I'm so glad that we got a God that can still think good of me after 40 years of spitting in His face. I'm so glad that we got a God that has an expected end for us. If we would just get in, sit down, and shut up and go for the ride. How blessed our lives, our family's lives, and everybody around us' lives are going to be. But no, we don't want to do that. You know what we want to do? We want to do what we want to do. We're smarter than anybody else. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. It ain't going to affect anybody but me. Well, wait till they start coming up out of hell. And then you'll understand, you know what? This was really real. I should have done right. I should have done what God wanted me to do. I'm not smarter than God. No one is. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that You do have an expected end for each and every one of us. I thank You for the men that said, I answered the call of God and did what God wanted me to do. I thank You so much for the people that did that, Lord. For the people that are still doing that. They're going out and preaching. Lord, trying to save souls for You. And the Lord, I just pray that You bless each and every one of them. I pray, Lord, that You give them strength. Lord, that You'd open the eyes and open the ears and soften the heart so Your Word may penetrate and may people be converted. But Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would understand that our disobedience causes pain. And our obedience causes blessings. I thank You so much for salvation, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us say, Lord, What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do today? That each and every one of us, every time we go to a service, say, Lord, I want to be God. I want you to soften my heart. I want you to speak to my heart today. I want to know what you want for my life. Because every time I take control of my life, I end up in a ditch. I want to go down the straight road. I want to do something for you, Lord. I want you to enlarge my coast. I want you to keep me from evil. And I want your hand to be with me all the days of my life. I pray that somebody in this room would want that same thing. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the rest of this evening, bless the fellowship, get everybody home safely. And we thank you so much for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Songbook 401. You know, we're only 2 months into 2018. It's good to take inventory again. The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians, I think it is 10, to revenge all disobedience when your obedience has come to be fulfilled. And so if we're coming to obedience tonight, think back of what's going on in 20. Think of how many tracts you didn't hand out. Think of how many people you walked by without a thought for their soul. Think about how many times where God said, you ought to go talk to that person, and you didn't. Wow. And when we come to obedience, God will set our soul on fire. Revenge that disobedience. I like that again. And so that's a good message. And let's stand and sing this invitation. If God's tugged on your heart, let's let Him set our soul on fire. Set my soul afire, Lord, for Thy holy.